In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. About 15 years ago, I was invited to be part of a radio program on Sacred Heart Radio in Cincinnati, Ohio. The Sunrise Morning Show was its name at the time. It has since grown to be something quite remarkable. My particular segment once a week was to comment on affairs of the world from a Catholic perspective. And at that time, I thought I had a handle on the world, as it was my job, in a sense, to think about what was going on in the world and how it is that we as Catholics should respond to the things that were actually happening around us to try to make sense of the world in which we find ourselves. Little did I know or understand that in a very short period of time, it would come to pass that the world in which I thought I lived did not exist. And the world in which I find myself is something I could never have imagined. If I had thought about it for 1,000 years, I would never have thought we would, as a nation, arrive at the position in which we find ourselves today. Even more so, I would never have thought as a church we would have arrived at the place in which we find ourselves today. And yet, nevertheless, this is where we are. We are a nation, in one sense, that was forged in violence. And so it may seemingly only make sense that violence has now become the response to any disagreement, any differing of opinions. And all the posturing that has been going on over this last week or so, not just the recent events from earlier this week, but actually over the last several years, where those who are mentally deranged have taken it upon themselves to destroy innocent life. But of course, we have lived in a country where we destroyed life in the womb. We have lived in a country where death has seemingly always been the response. Human discourse, civil conversation, charity among peoples simply no longer exists. These things that we would have been able to think about in the context of being American citizens, a civility that allowed for culture and society to continue to prosper, the ability for us to work together, even though there were differences that maybe on the surface seemed insurmountable, now that veneer has simply disappeared. The foundation may be cracked, maybe beyond repair. I cannot say as to what the future of this nation will be. I can say that I simply no longer understand it. An understanding on a natural level, because there is a supernatural understanding of the reality in which we find ourselves, and it is to that reality that we must constantly return. And maybe that was my fault all along, that I looked at the world through the lens of Catholicism as a series of propositions, but not as the reality that actually governed my existence. I speak often about the faith, and I am blessed to do so, not only from this particular perch, but indeed around the country, where I'm blessed to give talks and give retreats and reflect on the faith. And of course, in those contexts, oftentimes it is an intellectual exercise, explaining or expounding on a particular aspect of what it is that we believe. But relationship with God and our Savior is not about theological propositions. It's not about theorems. It's about a relationship with a person who suffered and died in order that we might live. This is the only way to make sense of the world in which we find ourselves. For to be clear, the world in which we do now find ourselves does not want what it is that we offer. The time for dialogue, the time for civil discourse has passed us by. Not because we don't want that, but because the world itself will not allow it. I'm confused at times why it is that our ecclesial leadership continues to try to compromise with a world that hates it and has made it very clear the hatred that they have for Christ and Holy Mother Church. I'm not making this up. I'm not being overreactive. I'm not being a doomsday sayer and the sky is falling. I'm simply repeating the things that the world says about Christianity and about Catholicism. And yet our leaders, our bishops, our priests, we continue to somehow try to compromise and say nice things about our enemies or applaud people when they make the charitable statements that people should actually make. There should be no credit given for being a good person because the expectation should be you should always be a good person. There are no gold stars for being charitable because we are required by being created in the image and likeness of God to be charitable. And yet we go out of our way to try to somehow become friends with our enemies. And of course, our enemies are liars because they are rooted in Satan, who lies to us. And so anything that they say to us, any smiles that they give to us, any seemingly compromises that they're willing to make are only being given to advance their particular perspective. And their perspective is our destruction. They simply do not want us to exist. I have said this before, and at times I again am accused of being full of darkness, full of a dourness about the world in which we live. And then I wake up and hear about a political assassination. And then unfortunately spend an inordinate amount of time looking at the responses from people rejoicing in the fact that a husband and father was murdered in the sight of 3,000 people. Rejoicing at this. Celebrating this. Proclaiming that he deserved it because his positions were offensive to some, difficult to others to understand. People disagreed with him. And so their response to disagreement, their response to uncomfortableness was to assassinate him. And we wring our hands and we decry the violence in the world. And we talk about all sorts of political responses to it. But we will still, especially in the church, not accept what we know to be true, that we are waging war against Satan. And how much more real does the war actually need to be? Must we wait for a gunman to assassinate young children when they're at Holy Mass on the first day of school? We don't have to wait for that. It has already happened. Do we have to wait until someone walks in our own doors and does violence against us before we realize that we have to prepare and arm ourselves? And the armaments isn't just violence meeting violence. It is the armament that God himself gives to us, which is the mystery that we celebrate today, the mystery of the Lord's cross. I'm angry. And I'm sad. To live in this world and to live in a church that has shirked her duties and responsibilities because she continues to compromise with a world that simply will not compromise with us. We might be tempted to think about our place in society and culture as unique, but from the moment in Adam and Eve revolted against God, the world has been against us. This is not new. This is not particular to this age. This is how it has always been. What has happened, what has changed, is that we as Catholics, we as believers in the truth, we have set aside our crosses. We have become comfortable. And because we become comfortable, we want the world around us to remain comfortable. And so we compromise more and more. And each compromise whittles away at our resolve to carry our crosses, so much so that there's no one carrying the cross but Christ himself. And for that I am grateful. Because in his cross, as we proclaimed in our introit, is salvation, new life, and resurrection. But then we call ourselves followers of Christ. We call ourselves Christians and Catholics.
We come forward to receive the living God at the altar of sacrifice, where we pledge to live this life, and then we put down our crosses over and over and over again. One cannot follow Christ unless you are willing to go the way that he went. And the way that he went, and the way that he was victorious, was by being lifted high upon the cross, suffering and dying in order that we might have life and have life abundantly. This is the only response to the world in which we live. It is the legitimate response that will bring about the triumph that has already happened, that triumph in which we participate even now in this very sacrifice. So anger and sadness in the immediate, in the moment, frustration at the world and civil and ecclesial leadership in the moment. But then we pause, and we never allow the hatred of the world to well up in our own hearts. We don't meet violence with violence, but like our Lord himself did, we willingly mount the crosses that are given to us, and we carry them with joy, knowing that to die with Christ is to live with Christ. To suffer and to carry the crosses that we are asked to bear is to share very concretely and very really in relationship with the one who is now victorious. But if these words that I speak to you, these words that we hear proclaimed in sacred scripture, remain merely propositions, theological constructs, then that's all they will actually be. Words upon a page, ideas in the minds of men. But we are not in relationship with ideas. We are in relationship with the God-man, our Lord and Savior, who requires a real, true response from us. And he has told us of what that response consists. It is a willingness to suffer, a willingness to die, in order that you and others might live. This is not an easy thing to embrace, not an easy thing to preach, and not an easy reality with which to contend. But this is the place at which we find ourselves and the world in which we live. And so the time for clutching our pearls and wringing our hands and bemoaning the fate of human existence needs to come to an end. And in its place needs to be a resolve to follow Christ even unto death in order that I might live. Not as an idea, not as a proposition, not as a set of theorems that we offer, pious platitudes given to make sense of the world, but as the very reality that governs my life. And so to be clear, brothers and sisters, long before you might be called to shed your blood and to give your bodies, you must be willing to endure the little sacrifices and inconveniences that are also a part of our daily existences. And if somehow you find them inconvenient or uncomfortable, or you're easily given over to a lack of charity or impatience with the faults and failings of others, then you are not prepared to pick up the big crosses that Christ may ask of you. For the only way to carry the cross as Christ himself did was to live a whole life where you are willingly suffering and dying with him, so that when the moment comes that might be grand as far as the world is concerned, as far as you are concerned, it is a continuation of the relationship with the one I love. And so we have before us, as so many have written this week, an opportunity to stand at the crossroads. Again, I cannot speak for the nation, for that is not my role, but I can speak for the church, and I can say the time has come for us to be accounted for, to stand up. It doesn't have to be radical, it doesn't have to be taking to the streets, although it may come to that, but what it does mean is in your life, every moment of your life must be governed by the cross of Christ, that cross that is victorious, that cross in which we triumph, that cross with which we mark ourselves each and every moment that we pray. Is it merely an empty, hollow gesture? Or are you actually understanding how you are marking yourself and what is required of you if you mark yourself in that manner? These are not things to simply ponder in one ear and out the other, especially if you intend to present yourself today for Holy Communion, because to do so is to publicly manifest that you accept this reality to be true, and you will live your life accordingly, because it is Christ who is dwelling in you. This was never easy, nor was it intended to be easy, but nor are we alone in accomplishing this. Our Lord is with us to give us the strength that we need. All we need do is to reach out and to carry our crosses, to rejoice in the triumph that has given us salvation and everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.